And this morning, we thank you for the truth that you minister to us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name that as you enlighten the eyes of our understanding to behold the truth that you have prepared for us, you will help us also not just to be hearers of your word only, but to be doers as well, that we may profit thereby and that our ways may bring you pleasure. For you said in your word that there is no greater joy in you than to see that your children walk in the truth. Help us, Lord, to walk in the truth that you give to us today and the truth that you give to us always. Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our teacher here today and you teach us and guide us into the truth that the Father has for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 13. Remember, we've been looking at the subject that we titled Walking in Spiritual Discernment. And we have emphasized that what we are teaching on at this time is the kind of discernment that is common to every believer. We are not talking about the gift of discernment or discerning of spirits, as Bible mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a specific kind of gift. And that particular gift does not operate at all times. It is as the Spirit wills. So none of us has the capacity to just decide, I want to walk in the gift of discerning of spirit. It's not according to our will. It's as the Spirit wills. And therefore, many of us as Christians will never walk in the gift of discerning of spirits in our lifetime. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't will to use me in that gift at any point in time, then I can't just operate in it. But then there is the ability to discern by the help of the Holy Spirit, which is common to every believer, not just ministers, not just leaders in the church, but everybody, even the least person in the body of Christ, has the ability to discern spiritually. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in every one of us. All we just need to do is grow in maturity and understand how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and enjoy this grace that is available to every believer in Christ. And we have explained, looking at scriptures, giving clear examples that God wants every one of his children to walk in spiritual discernment. We've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, remember? We looked at verse 14 to see that Bible teaches us that the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God because he cannot know them. Why? They can only be spiritually discerned. So the spiritual man should be able to discern everything that is necessary for him to live in obedience to God and enjoy the will of God here on earth in his own lifetime. We just need to develop it. And then we've looked at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 that tells us that solid food belongs to those who are matured. Those who, by reason of use, have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. In other words, God expects every one of his children to be able to discern between what is good, what is of God. What is good is of God. And then what is evil, which is of the devil. So we should be able to discern that this is of God, this is not of God. And we've also looked at 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 that teaches us that we have the unction from the Holy One. In other words, we have within us the anointing of God and we know all things. In other words, this anointing guides us in the way of God. We can know by the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We can know what to do in situations we can know to choose what is of God and what is not of God. So we have to walk in discernment. It is common to every one of us. The problem is because many of us are not growing up in the knowledge of the spiritual things of God, we are not exercising the grace that is present in us. So it's just dormant. We need to wake it up. We need to wake it up. The first thing is for us to know the things that have been freely given to us. Bible says we need to know. We need to know who we are. We need to know what we have. We need to begin to see ourselves the way God says we are in the Bible. Because if we don't see ourselves as God says we are, the devil is going to get us to see ourselves in a different way. And if we are not careful, we'll just think like everyone else thinks in the world. We need to be transformed by the knowledge of the truth so that we can begin to think in agreement with God rather than thinking the way the devil wants us to think. Remember, it's the same serpent that went in the garden and got Eve to think the way he wanted Eve to think rather than the way God said Eve should think. And at the end of the day, before Eve knew, she had disobeyed God. And she lost her place in the garden. And that's what we are saying. There's a devil around who is putting thoughts in us, getting us to think in a way different from the way God says we should think. And that's why we need to have spiritual discernment, to be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God, so that we can go in the way of God, which will bring us blessings, instead of going in the opposite direction to God, which is the way of the devil that will bring us destruction. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man. Because when the devil brings his way, he makes his way look like the right way for us to go. Remember, even Eve in Genesis said, oh, this same tree is good to give one knowledge. Now, she's been deceived by the devil. She's seeing what God said, don't eat from, as something good for food. That's what we are talking about. When the devil comes in to get us thinking the way he wants us to think, we even think we are on the right road. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is the way of destruction. So the man thinks he's going on the right road. He's just going, wah, 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 wah. And then suddenly, whoa, he's falling in the ditch. And he's wondering, oh, it's too late now. He should not have gone that way. Who led him that way? Well, the devil. Why did the man follow the devil? Because the man couldn't discern between what is of God and what is of the devil. So the devil succeeded in deceiving him. That's what we are talking about. God doesn't want any of us as his children to fall prey to the teeth of the enemy. So he wants us to be able to discern clearly what is of him and what is not of him. And also, as we already shared the last time, we looked in the Bible at what Bible said concerning the children of Issachar, who were men that had understanding of the times. In other words, they could discern the times and the seasons and the events going around. And they were, because of that ability to discern, they were able to tell the children of Israel what to do. Which means if we cannot discern spiritually, we don't know how to do the right thing. We'll end up doing the wrong thing. It's as simple as that. Every one of us. We need to have the capacity to discern that which is of God and then make a choice to say, I'm going God's way. Because if we can't discern what is of God, how can we even go the right way? We don't even know which way to go. We are in confusion. So the children of Issachar, they had the understanding of times and seasons, and they could tell the children of Israel what they ought to do. Praise God. I love that. Let's just look at that scripture again. If they could do that under the old covenant, how much more you and I under the new? First Chronicles chapter 12, Thank God, thank God, thank God for what is written. Bless God forever. Verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. They were men that had understanding of the times. In other words, they could discern the times. And because of that spiritual understanding and insight, they could guide the people of God in the way of God. Which means, if they did not have that understanding, they couldn't go God's way. So we have to have the understanding that comes from God by His Spirit and walk in that. Let's go back then to Romans chapter 13. And today we'll take it further and look at what we need in order to walk in spiritual discernment. Every one of us have to take on board our lives what we are about to share this morning. You see, if you want to get a job done, you need tools. If you don't have tools, you can't get the job done. If you call a builder to build you a house and he doesn't have building tools, he can't build anything. So we have to have tools. God has given us tools to help us to do everything that He wants us to do as His children, including walking in spiritual discernment. All right. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time. Again, we have to know the time we are living in. We have to be able to discern the time and the season that we are living in right now. There's so much happening in the world around us, and many of us as Christians, because we can't even discern the times, we just get along with what everyone else is saying in the world, and we don't even know what to do. We ought to be like the children of Issachar and have understanding of the time we are living in now and what we ought to do. Jesus, for instance, in Luke chapter 21, told us about some of the things we ought to be doing in these times. He told us the signs that will be happening in the world, which we are seeing right now. And He told us what we need to do. He said we should watch and pray when we see all these things. In other words, as you are able to discern what is going on, this is what you must be doing. So if we don't understand that, we'll just go about talking like everybody else is talking and hoping like they are hoping, which is hopelessness. In the world, their hope is hopelessness. But you and I, like Father Abraham, against hope can believe in hope, you see. When we discern the times and we realize, but wait a minute, what we are seeing is what Jesus spoke about. Praise God. Ah, now it's time for us to begin to do what Jesus said to do. Because He said, when we see all these things happening, we should be watching and praying. So instead of getting distracted by what is happening, let us begin to obey the voice of Jesus and watch and pray. Because He said, we should look up when we see all these things. Why? Because our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. So that's what we are talking about. We have to be able to discern the times. And so Paul is writing to the church at Rome, which is applicable to the church generally also, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Again, he's talking about spiritual sleep, spiritual slumber, not physical sleep. He's talking about spiritual slumber. Awake out of spiritual slumber. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Hallelujah. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Our redemption is nearer. The time is getting nearer for Jesus to come and take us home in the rapture. This world is not our home. He has gone to prepare a place for us and is coming back to take us there. We don't know when. It may be in our lifetime. It may not be in our lifetime. We don't know. But what Bible is saying is that we need to be sensitive. We need to be on the alert. We need to be ready. What if Jesus decides to come today? Am I ready to go? Am I part of the five wise virgins or part of the five foolish ones? Because virgin is talking about the church, not talking about unbelievers. Which means not every so-called Christian will go in the rapture. What's going to make the difference? Spiritual discernment? That's it. Those who have discernment, they are ready. So when the bridegroom was ready, they went in. Because they had oil. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of discernment. All of them fell asleep at some point. But those who had oil could be quickened by the Holy Spirit to get ready. Because it's the one that quickens us. And it's the one that will gather us unto Christ. It's a spiritual phenomenon. And it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. It's like a magnet just pulls. Pew, 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 and that's all. Before anyone knows, it's already done. We won't even have time to repent then. You don't have time to say, Allah, is that? So you don't have time to say, God forgive. In the twinkling of an eye, you even be able to say, letter hey, before it has done. It's all done. Oh, that's why Bible says we need to be ready. No time to do anything then. If you are ready, you are ready. If you are not ready, you are not ready. That's all. It's going to be like a flash, quickly. Those who are ready, the Holy Spirit takes them. And they gather together with Christ in the air. And they go. Those who are left behind. Oh my. They are going to suffer. And feel some pain. And regret. Again, because they were in slumber. That's why Bible is calling us to awake. Get ready. This is not our home. This world is not our home. We are just sojourners here. We should be ready. We should be ready to go. At any time. When Jesus comes. Hallelujah. So again, it says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at end. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let's read verse 14 together. I love that. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hallelujah. In other words, let Jesus Christ be your cloak covering you. In other words, in all that you do, let Jesus be what is showing. Because when people look at you now, they don't see your flesh. They see your clothes. Isn't that so? The clothes is the covering. So everywhere you go, it's your clothes they see. So everywhere you go, let it be Christ shining in your life. Let Jesus be shining in your life. You are an ambassador for Christ. So put on Christ. Don't give room to the flesh. In other words, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. No place for the flesh. And that's why we are talking about spiritual discernment. Hallelujah. We can all put on Christ and show off Christ everywhere we go. There's nothing good for me to show off about myself. If I go about showing off myself, some people will not like me anyhow. Say, what has it got to show off? But when I go about showing off Christ, praise God, God is glorified. And if anyone doesn't like what I'm showing off, it's because they have the spirit of Antichrist in them. So, I can't help that. There are some people who have the wrong spirit in them. But that doesn't bother me. As long as I'm showing off Christ, God is glorified. Hallelujah. So that's what matters. We should, everywhere we go, show off Christ. Let us put on Christ. No room for the flesh, only Christ. Because we are called Christians. We have to go everywhere showing Christ, not the flesh in us. So when somebody steps on my toes, instead of me stepping on their toes back, I should remember what Jesus said. He did not say, turn the other cheek. So even though my flesh is saying, step on their own other and really crush it so that they don't even have any tools left. I remember Jesus said, no, don't do that. That's the flesh. I'll be merciful unto them, even as God is merciful to me. Again, if I'm willing to do that, the grace of God will help me get it done. The problem is we are not willing to do what God says to do. We just want to please ourselves. So grace goes to sleep in us. Grace is what will help us to do everything right. None of us has the ability to do any good on our own. It is God in us who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he can't do it. He can't force himself on me unless I'm willing. When I'm willing, then he can have his way in me and through me. And when they step on my toes, instead of me stepping back, I'll find myself saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Someone said, Jesus was able to say that because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. How about the man called Stephen? Was he conceived of the Holy Spirit? The first martyr of the church. Bible says they were stoning him to death. Imagine the pain and agony that man was going through, yet he was still praying for them. Father, do not lay this thing to their charge. Sometimes when I think about Stephen, I say, oh God, Stephen, you must have been full of much grace. Because at that point in time, I'm not sure I would do that. They are stoning me to death for nothing. I'm in pain. Well, I don't need to pray for them, even if I don't curse them. But I'll just say, God, let them feel something too. So that they will know that they should not touch the Lord's anointed. I'm coming home anyway, but let them not find any way to come to where I'm going. Blind them to the truth so that they perish forever. You see, but that's the wickedness in us, in the flesh. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. And we thank God for the prayer of Stephen. Because the Bible deliberately records that Saul of Tarsus was watching when Stephen was being stoned to death. And I'm sure the prayer of Stephen was part of what brought Saul of Tarsus to become Paul the Apostle. That's what walking in the Spirit can do. And look at how that Saul became Paul and is such a blessing to the body of Christ because of the prayer of one person suffering to death. We should have been cursing, but he put on Christ and made no provision for the flesh. And so Jesus was able to use him to bring Saul into his fold. And later, this same Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. He was on the way to persecute the church some more. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Thank God for the capacity you and I have to put on Christ. So this morning, let us talk about the tools, what we need to walk in spiritual discernment. And all we have said in the previous teachings, please go over your notes, go to the website, better still, download the audio. It's there for us to download, to listen to, all free, so that you can listen to the Word of God that we have shared so far over and over again. Faith doesn't come by hearing once. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing again and again and again so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to minister the truth to us. But when we were closing last time, we emphasized a few things regarding how to begin to prepare ourselves to walk in discerning of the things of God. In other words, spiritual discernment. And we said, number one, we said that spiritual discernment, according to what we see there in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, refers to insight that comes by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is a knowing that the Holy Spirit himself ministers to our human spirit as believers. You see, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us in our human spirit, which we call our heart. And then it can minister directly to our human spirit, and our human spirit can then minister to all other parts of our being. And then we also said, secondly, that this kind of spiritual insight or knowing is facilitated by personal growth and maturity in the spirit. We looked at Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 12 to 14 regarding that, and concerning the first point, we looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our human spirit. So that's the way he works. He works with our human spirit. So if I'm going to have spiritual discernment, it will be by the Holy Spirit who lives in my human spirit, ministering to me and showing me the way to go and what to do. And then my human spirit receives the signal, and I can then tell my own soul, my soul, this is what I'm going to do. I choose to do it this way. Just as the psalmist said, my soul, hope now in God. You see, you can challenge your soul to go along because you have the power of choice. And then thirdly, we didn't have time to say this, so you can just note it down before we share what we need to share this morning. The personal growth and maturity that we all need comes by diligent studying or meditating in the Word of God and praying. That's what Bible teaches us, and we shall be seeing that very clearly this morning. If I'm going to grow up and mature in the things of the Spirit, I need to feed my spirit with the Word of God. And I need to feed my spirit with the strength of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside. I have to be strengthened with the might of the Holy Spirit himself. So I need to spend time in the Word, meditating in it day and night, and spend time in the Holy Spirit, praying particularly with other tongues. Jude 20 tells us that we should build up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So this morning, let's look at four important things that are very necessary for every one of us to walk in spiritual discernment. Number one, humility. If you are going to walk in spiritual discernment, you need to be humble. People who are proud will never walk in spiritual discernment because the Holy Spirit will take advantage of them and lead them in the wrong way, and they'll think they're on the right road. The devil, rather. Thank you. The devil will take advantage of them and lead them in the wrong way because pride is of the devil. Pride came from the devil, and he corrupted man with that nature in the Garden of Eden. Remember, the devil was proud in heaven. According to Revelation chapter 12, he wanted to elevate himself above the level that God put him. He was not satisfied with where God put him. He wanted to be like God himself. How can you, the created, be like your creator? That's going too far. He said, I will. You see, it was his choice now, which means he had power of choice, being an archangel. Not all the angels had power of choice, but God gave it to the archangels. So he chose to use his own will to want to be what God did not create him to be. So at the end of the day, that nature of pride got him to lose his place in heaven. His place is no longer found there. So he came and he went in the garden, corrupted man with the nature. And that's why the whole world is against God today. It's pride. Some people, when you tell them about the gospel of Jesus, they'll say, I don't have time for that foolish thing. It's pride in them. The pride in their heart made them to neglect the true wisdom that comes from God, because they think they're already wise. They think they already know what to do. No. If you think you already know what to do, God is not going to tell you the right way. It's as simple as that, even though you're a child of God. You need to be humble. Humility is the first thing in God's kingdom if you are going to walk with God. Jesus himself had to humble himself in order to please the Father. Philippians chapter 2 tells us. He had the same glory with God, but he laid all those things aside and took upon himself the nature of humanity and humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross. He obeyed the Father. He humbled himself to obey the Father. He could have said, well, Father, I don't want to do that. I'm co-equal with you, so I'm not going to do that menial job. You know how it is sometimes in some churches, you go to some big churches, some people are so proud. When the pastor says, well, we need people to help us in the sanitation department. You know, people come in and tidy up the church and tidy up everything for everyone. Say, no, that's not the one I want. The one I want is to stand in the pulpit and preach like the pastor. I don't want to be cleaning the floor. That one is too low for me. See, that's pride. God will never put them behind the pulpit. Because God said, if you are not being faithful in little, who will give you much? But the devil will go to those same people and say, don't mind them in that church. They don't understand the will of God. Come, I'll lead you to another church where they can make you pastor. So he will just lead them to his own congregation where they are all under the power of the devil. So he will go there, they will put him to be pastor there. Blind leading the blind. Just because of pride of heart. Well, what does it take for you to sweep the floor? It's the floor. The house of God is an honor to serve God in any capacity. It's an honor to serve God, because God is going to reward me not because of my position, but because of my faithfulness. A sweeper in the house of God can get more reward from God than the pastor of the church. Because the pastor may not be faithful, but the sweeper is faithful. God will reward the sweeper more than the pastor. He's rewarding us for faithfulness. But pride will say, me? Sweep? Oh, no, no, no. That's not for me. I'm well educated. Don't you understand? I have PhD. What will people think? Huh? When they see me sweeping the floor of the church with my PhD. No, I should be like the pastor. I'm even more educated than the pastor. I have more degree than him. I should be the one behind the pulpit preaching as he's preaching. This is pride of heart. So the first thing is humility. If you are going to walk with God, you need humility. God never walks with us when we are proud. So humility. And under that, make this note. Humility is required to prevent me from being presumptuous. In other words, from walking in presumption. Presumption, actually, Bible describes it as a sin. And many of us as Christians walk in it. To presume means to just assume that I know what to do. Just because I have the Bible, I know what to do. Just because I'm a Christian, I know what to do. No, you don't know what to do because you have the Bible. The letter killeth. It's the Spirit that gives life. You don't know what to do just because you're a Christian. You only know what to do because you are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can have a Bible and still end up in hell. You can say you're a Christian and be rejected of Jesus on the last day. Who will say, I never knew you. You walk off iniquity. But when you humble yourself, as Jesus came and humbled himself and was led of the Holy Spirit, then you are led of the Holy Spirit, you will be a child of God indeed. You will be walking in the ways of God. Because God receives the proud, he gives grace to the humble. So write the scriptures there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We don't need to turn there. That's just what I quoted a short while ago. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So if you are proud, God will resist you. So if God has resisted you, how can he then be the one guiding you? You are not on his side anymore. And also Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, which actually is where Paul was taking the scripture when he wrote to the epistle. Where Peter took the scripture when he wrote his epistle there in 1 Peter chapter 5. So please look up those two scriptures, 1 Peter 5:5 and Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15. Number two requirement is the word of God. And under that, please make this note. This is required to test the spirit in order to discern if it is of God. So it is required to test the spirit to discern if it is of God. You need the word of God. That's why you must not be presumptuous. You must not just say, oh, okay, because I'm a Christian, I know. I've heard of God. This is God directing me. For all you know, it may be the devil that has disguised as an angel of light and is leading you astray. You have to test the spirit, Bible says, to know whether they are of God. For instance, even in the New Testament church, if you study the Bible very closely, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Bible says prophecies have to be judged. It didn't say, well, just because you're a Christian, anything you say is correct. No, prophecy has to be judged. It has to be tested whether it is God really speaking through you, or maybe you just felt so good, you had a good meal, and you are speaking by your own spirit because you feel good on the inside. Oh, God have mercy. You know, sometimes We just come up with our own desire. And then we say the spirit is leading us. No, the spirit is not leading you. It's you leading you. Because that's what you want. It's like the children of Israel. How many people remember when they said, give us a king? Who was leading them? Was it God? No. God even sent his prophet to them. So what do you need a king for? They said, we want to be like the other nations. Give us a king. God said, am I not better than a king? What do you need king for? Said, no, just give us a king. Then God told Samuel, go and give them a king. Was that the will of God? No. That was the will of the people. God said, give it to them. That's what they want. So they were going in the wrong way. That's not God's way for them. Even though God told Samuel, go and anoint a king, because they don't want to listen to him. Bible says in Romans that because the people don't want to acknowledge God, he gave them hope to their reprobate mind to believe what they want to believe. So that's how God works. That's why we cannot be presumptuous even as Christians. Don't just say because you feel on the inside of you this is what you need to do. That's God. No. Maybe the devil. You have to test it. That's why humility is the number one thing. Because if you are not humble, you just believe yourself. You think you are up there. No, nobody is up there. We are all on the same level. Under Christ. He is the head, we are the body. If we try to exalt ourselves as the head, we'll lose it. Be humble. And seek to find out the truth before you step out. To act upon it. So the word of God is required to test the spirit to discern if it is of God. In front of that, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us exactly what I've just said. Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Test it to know whether they are of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we all know what is there. As Bible says, all scripture, every word of God is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, by the Holy Spirit. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So the word of God is what will instruct us in the way of God. If you don't have the word of God, you may be going wrong without you knowing you are going wrong. So you have to test the spirit to know whether they are of God. The devil will never submit himself to the word of God. That is why Bible says he is the spirit of disobedience. And he walks in the children of disobedience. So you have to test the spirit to know whether they are of God. Number three requirement for walking in spiritual discernment is prayer. Prayer. Say to yourself, I need to pray. And not just think I know what to do. You see, we have to ask. We have to ask God for wisdom. We have to ask God for guidance. We have to ask God for direction. If we don't pray, we are proud. You see, it takes humility to pray. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. It takes humility to pray. It simply means I'm not looking to myself, I'm looking to God. God, I come to humble myself under you. You are my Father, you are my master, you are my head, you give me the instruction, I will obey. Show me the way, I will follow. That's what prayer is for. It is asking that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, here even in your situation. So prayer is required to receive precise instruction and guidance from God. We have to be precise in many areas of need. For instance, let me give you an illustration. You have a Bible? Fine, you have a Bible. Can you find out in the Bible that you have whether you are supposed to be here in London or to be in America? At this point in your life, how are you sure you are supposed to be in London and not in America? Can you find that in the Bible where it is written? And then you find your name, that was so date you are supposed to be living in London, not in another place. You can't find that. So there are certain decisions we need to make in our lives that we can't really find accurately or precisely in the Bible. So how are we going to get the direction from God? Prayer. Prayer. And then God can show you and guide you and lead you. Oh, you ought to be here. You ought to be there. You ought to be here. You ought to be there. Precise instruction. What should I do now? I can't really find it clearly in the Bible. The Bible gives me general direction. But I need precise instruction now to know what to do. Turn with me quickly to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Write this scripture down in front of that point. We find this pattern in the Old Testament and also in the New. Don't act presumptuously. Don't just assume. Don't just think you know what to do. No. Humble yourself to let God guide you. You need precise instruction from God. You have to pray. God is the only one that has precise, accurate knowledge about everything now and forever. You and I don't even know tomorrow. We haven't lived tomorrow before. How can I have clear instruction as to what to do when I don't even know tomorrow? But God knows everything, so he can give me precise instruction, precise direction and guidance, and then I'll be able to walk in discernment accurately as I ought to. We need to pray. Don't just assume you know what to do. I don't care how much you say you love God. The devil can still lead you and lead me astray. We have to humble ourselves to let God guide us. Then we will not lose the way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. I'll encourage you when you get home, read it better in context. First, we are going to look at verse 10, and then we are going to look at verse 14. But for the sake of context, I'll pick it from verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. You see, when they heard that David had been anointed king. And when they heard that he had been anointed king, they all went to seek him. They didn't go to seek him because they wanted to congratulate him. They went to seek him in order to defeat him and spoil the plan of God concerning his life. In many situations of life, when you begin to walk in the ways of God, the devil is going to raise up opposition against you. You have to understand that. You have to understand that. Because the devil doesn't want you to go in the way of God. So he's not going to fold his hands and let you go that way. When you begin to rise up in the will of God, the devil is also going to try to bring you down. That's how it works. And that's why you and I need to walk in spiritual discernment. We have to be able to have precise instruction and guidance from God through the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And now, look at what David did. He prayed. I love that. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. So when those Philistines came, David did not act presumptuously. He did not assume he knew what to do because he was a man after God's heart. He didn't just presume. He didn't say, well, I am David, the man that killed the lion, the man that killed the bear, the man that killed Goliath. Oh, look at these Philistines. I already defeated their giant. What are they coming to do again? I'll just go against them like I went against Goliath, and that'll be the end of all of them. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He humbled himself to pray, to ask God for direction. What should I do? Verse 10. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. Please underline that in your Bible. That is very lovely. Because here is a man that should have been proud of all the achievements he has already had. All the testimonies of victories he has heard in the past, and just act presumptuously. But he didn't do that. He humbled himself to ask God concerning this particular present situation, what should I do? God, give me precise instruction. And God gave it to him, and he acted upon God's instruction and gained the victory. But look at it again. Let's drop down to verse 14. He said, the devil, when you defeat him, he will leave you for a season. He will come back again. So what should you do again? Do exactly the same thing. Wait upon the Lord. Don't presume that, oh, I did it like this yesterday, and that's the way to do it again today. Yesterday's strategy may not work today. That's why humility and prayer is very important. Don't say, I have a Bible. I'll just act. Well, the letter killeth. It is the Spirit that gives life. From verse 13 now. And the Philistines yet again. You see, he has defeated them, but they are coming again. yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Look at verse 14. Therefore, David inquired again. Please underline the key word again. He didn't just say, well, I know what to do. I'll do like I did the last time. It may not work. Remember how Samson, the strong man also, said, I will get up and shake myself like I used to do before. But this time when he shook himself, nothing was there. Inquire of the Lord. Humble yourself to pray. So he inquired, and look at how God told him not to go this time, the way he went the last time. If he had acted presumptuously, he would have been defeated by the devil. God told him, no, don't do it like you did the last time. Because the devil is coming with a different strategy. I will guide you as to what you need to do now, not like what you did before. It's a different way you have to go now to gain the victory. So you need to pray. Let's look also quickly in our Bibles as we turn to Acts chapter 1. Under the New Testament, we see the same pattern with the early church. They didn't act presumptuously. They didn't think they knew what to do just because they were apostles of Jesus Christ, just because they had been with Jesus for 3 years of his ministry. They had listened to all the sermons of Jesus, and then they had really done everything and seen everything. They didn't just act presumptuously. They prayed. They sought counsel from God. Look at Acts chapter 1. Please, when you get home, study it in context. Here was Peter, together with the others who were in the upper room, obeying Jesus' instruction for them to wait for the day of Pentecost. And look at what he said. By the Holy Spirit, when he remembered what the Bible already said concerning Judas and how he had to be replaced. And then he went on and said all that, and of course they all agreed that they needed to obey the word of God and find somebody to replace Judas. Now look at what then goes on here. Let's just drop down for the sake of time. Verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. I love that. They needed to replace Judas. They looked among the followers or disciples of Jesus. They selected from among them those who had been with Jesus from the beginning of the ministry. And they narrowed it down to two. But they didn't say, well, we know which one of them to take. No, they prayed. They needed precise instruction from Jesus. And they prayed, and eventually God chose the one that he would. They humbled themselves. They said, God, you alone know the hearts of all men. We don't. So you choose for yourself. Hallelujah. Finally, number four thing which you and I need to have in place in order to walk in spiritual discernment is maturity, spiritual maturity. If you are going to walk in spiritual discernment, you need to mature in your human spirit. Because the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you works with your own human spirit. The Holy Spirit is not your spirit. is the Spirit of God. But he lives in your own human spirit as a believer in Christ in order to bear witness with your human spirit and lead you and guide you through your own spirit. That's why you still have a choice. He won't force you. The Holy Spirit doesn't force anyone to obey God. He tells you what to do, but he leaves you to make your choice. So if you are not matured in your own human spirit, you cannot walk in obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in you. Many times you don't even know that it is the Holy Spirit prompting you. How many people remember the account in the Bible of Samuel? When God initially began to speak to him, he thought it was Eli that was calling him, and he will run to Eli. And Eli will say, well, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Then he ran again the second time. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Then the third time God called him, he ran again to Eli. And Eli, being a priest, now discerned that God is calling Samuel. God is speaking to him. He said, now my little boy, you know what? You go back to sleep now. When next you hear the voice calling your name, because I'm not the one calling you, so when you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear thee. So now Samuel did exactly what Eli told him, and he was able to discern that it was the voice of God. And then he could now hear the instruction of God. So you need to mature in the things of the Spirit. That's why as Christian, you need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to build up your Holy Spirit, your human spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit. So you need spiritual maturity, and it is an ongoing thing. It is not something you just do one day and you say, I've arrived. No, you keep maturing day by day. It's an ongoing thing until Christ comes. So you need spiritual maturity in order to receive clarity when you are discerning the things of the Spirit. You have to be clear and precise. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 regarding that. See, that's why you need to keep praying, keep spending time in the Word of God, building up yourself in your most holy faith day by day. Day by day, no matter how busy you are, make time for the Word of God. Make time for prayer. Don't be too busy that you don't spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. You have to do it diligently on a daily basis, because that is the time you are able to allow the Holy Spirit to help you to mature in the things of God. From verse 12, Hebrews chapter 5. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who are matured, who by reason of use over time, they have been able to exercise their spiritual senses to discern between good and evil. We need to mature. We need to mature. So please make this note as we pray. So I need to keep building up my human spirit. With patience. By the word of God. And by praying in the Holy Spirit. So you have to do it with patience. You have to do it as an ongoing thing. And be patient for the fruit to keep developing in you from one stage of glory to another. And please write the scriptures down. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. And Jude 20. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower and helps us to understand that the kind of soil that will produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold would be the type that receives the word of God and with patience allows it to produce results. And 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 speaks about you and I praying in the Holy Spirit to edify ourselves, in other words, build up our human spirit. Jude 20 says, you beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we build ourselves up in our most holy faith through the word and through prayer in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. One-on-one with the Lord. We are in His presence. We have come to wait upon Him. Because we know where help is coming from. We could have been elsewhere this morning. We could have chosen to even go and do the things of the world this morning, rather than choosing to come into the house of God to fellowship with Him in the Spirit. You see, every choice we make is what determines our outcome. You have chosen life this morning. And as you are in the presence of the Lord, I want you one-on-one with Him to ask that He will help you. You see, the Bible says, ask, you shall receive. Ask that He will help you to put on board your life these four key things we have shared this morning as basic requirements for walking in spiritual discernment. Humility, number one. Number two, the word of God. Number three, prayer. Number four, maturity. Ongoing maturity. Ask God to help you. See, when we humble ourselves to ask for help, we'll get help. We can't not do it on our own. None of us can do anything right on our own. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So it takes humility for us to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Give me the grace to diligently do my part. The grace, day by day, to remember that I need to humble myself under the hand of God. The grace to remember every day of my life that I need to spend time in the Word of God, no matter how busy I am. The grace to remember every day of my life that I need to pray, particularly in the Holy Ghost, to build up my human spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me. And the grace to remember every day of my life that I need to grow up in all things in Christ Jesus. I cannot remain at the same level and be a spiritual babe all my life. I have to grow up and keep maturing day by day, going from glory to glory and maturing into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Help me to remember all this so that I can cooperate with you to do the work in me. To do the work in me. And as you pray, turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 and use that to pray. Use that to pray for yourself. Use that to pray for yourself. Just look at that scripture and release your faith and humble yourself to say, Lord, do it in me. Do it in me personally. Because at this point in time, we all have to work out our own salvation in the Lord. With fear and trembling, we are here to encourage one another to go in the way of God. But ultimately, each one of us will have to make the choice how far we want to go with God. So you make that choice this morning. And say, God, You are the one who works in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my soul to you. I surrender my body to you. I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Have your way in me. If you read it in context from verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So go ahead and surrender yourself to him. One-on-one. This kind of prayer does not even take 1 minute, because it is the prayer of consecration. When it comes from a sincere heart, God accepts the sacrifice in heaven, because he looks in the heart. When the heart comes humbly and says, Lord, help me. I cannot do it without you. Give me the grace. You know my weaknesses. You know. You know. And you alone can strengthen me in my weaknesses. So help me daily to humble myself. Help me daily to spend time in your word. Help me daily to pray. Help me daily to grow up to maturity in the things of your kingdom, in the name of Jesus. And when you have asked, now thank him for the help. Bible says, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. When you ask according to the will of God, he will give it to you. His will is for you and I to walk in discernment, as we have been sharing. And when we come and say, God, help me to do your will, you can be sure he will give the help. He never fails to do so. Lord, we bless you this glorious morning. Thank you for grace and much more grace that you give to each one of us in this church and our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere. Grace to put on board in our individual lives what is required for us to be able to walk in spiritual discernment, as you expect us to do until you come for us. Thank you for working that grace in us all, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen.